So Matthew, you should be in Matthew 6. I'm going to ask somebody to pray for our time as we look at God's Word. Anyone want to pray for me?
I'll pray.
Okay, thank you, Sharon.
Father, we thank you so much that you have brought us together today. We thank you for your Word that is full of power and insight into your ways. And just as we sang that, that our thoughts are not your thoughts, or neither are your ways our ways. And there's so much we need to know more about you, Father. So as we strive to know you more, we pray that you would bless Mike as he speaks today, that your Word would take a special hold in each of our hearts, that you would speak to us individually, and show us your ways and your thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to talk today about money and stuff. Jesus actually has a lot to say about money and stuff. And where we are in the Sermon on the Mount, that's what he's going to deal with. And so I want to actually begin by asking you a question. So you have people here from many different countries. And in your country, what do people think of money? Seems like kind of a silly question, right? But in China, how do people view money?
You can do a lot with it.
You can do a lot with it. In Korea?
Same as China.
You can do a lot with it. Okay? Something different. In Japan, how do people view money? Yes. What do people think of money?
My style is money is life.
It's what?
Money value and life is same.
Money and lifetime
is same.
Money and lifetime is the same.
Labor time?
Labor work time?
Yeah, that was very important. Money is important.
It's important.
Yes.
Okay.
If we use the money,
waste time. Use money to waste time?
Yeah. So this is more bad opportunity.
Okay. So it's important. Money is important in Japan.
Yes.
In Iran?
Wow. Iran is important too.
Okay. Money is important.
We have a money you can for everything.
Okay, yeah. If you have money, you're king.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's power in money.
Yes.
In Iran.
Yes.
And in America. And everywhere else, right? One of the Americans, give me something from America about money and stuff. How do we view it?
If you have enough money, you can be president of the United States.
Okay.
Have a lot of money, because if you have a lot of money, you can do all kinds of things. You have a lot more freedom.
Okay.
And things like that. So that's what Americans are striving for.
Okay. So we work for money, Americans, because we think it gets us ahead.
Yeah.
It's what we always wanted. We're dreaming of it. We want the nice house. Okay.
Americans feel like money will buy them happiness.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
It'll buy you happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Status.
What's that?
Status.
Raises your status. Okay. So, next question. So, this is kind of how people view money. Can you think of an example where you see evidence of whatever it was you just said? So, you say, in America, for example, money buys happiness. People think that. Where do you see an example of that? Or you say money is important in Japan. What's an example of money being important in Japan? Or money makes you king in Iran. Very important. What can you give me just one example where money does that?
Hollywood, California.
Hollywood, California. Okay.
I'm thinking that too, celebrity.
Okay. Somebody else from your country.
When you commit crime and
Okay.
One time there was a famous saying in Korea, if you have money, non guilty. If you don't have money, guilty.
Mm. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of truth to that in China and Iran and America and lots of places. You just have the saying, but it goes on everywhere.
Yeah. My country is very... do you have a money you for, you know, hi, how are you? I like it. Or do you have a money? No. Sometimes say hi, sometimes not say hi.
Okay, got it. And money gets you stuff, right? I mean, no money, no stuff. That's kind of how it works, right? I remember when I was young, I was a boy. It's Christmas time, and here in America, people give gifts at Christmas. And I remember I wanted for Christmas, I was a Minnesota Vikings fan. That's American football team. And I remember I wanted for Christmas a Minnesota Vikings coat and hat. And I was going to, you know, wear the team colors and go to school, and I'd be really cool at school. And so I got them for Christmas. And I was so happy for about a week. And then after a week, it was like nothing. It was just a coat and a hat. And today, that coat and hat are gone. They don't even exist anymore. And in all honesty, I could care less about that Minnesota Vikings coat and hat. But it made me so happy for a week, the coat and hat did. And that's not just me. I mean, you see this today, right? You want a new phone because, well, the old phone isn't doing it, right? So you got to have a new phone. And you get the new phone, and you're happy. I got the new phone for a month. And then another new phone comes out, and you got to have that phone. Right? Technology changes and you got to have the iPhone 27 instead of the iPhone 26. And you're no longer happy, even though you got the thing that was going to make you happy. There's something about stuff that makes you happy for about a month. And then it wears off. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 6. Starting in verse 19. We're going to read verses 19 to 24. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is pure or single, I think the ESV says healthy. If the eye is pure, the body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's what Jesus said. Now think of your culture. That we just talked about your culture with regard to money, right? And think of what Jesus just said. Wow. Now, Jesus is talking about where we live, isn't he? I mean, money and stuff, everybody has to deal with money and stuff. Everybody does. And Jesus' message is very simple. Don't treasure earth. Treasure heaven. Look to heaven. Your eye needs to be single focused. Look to heaven. Serve God, not money. That's his message. Jesus is not a complicated guy. He's very simple. So, let's talk about that. He begins with, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's what he begins with. Then he says, why? Why should you not lay up treasures on earth? Well, moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. In other words, it's temporary. That's the idea, right? Treasure on earth is temporary. It's like my Minnesota Vikings coat that today is in the garbage, doesn't even exist anymore. It's like that iPhone 26 that the iPhone 27 came out and, you know, it's in the past now. It's, you know, that car you always wanted? Or that car, it's just a bunch of metal and plastic and rubber when you get right down to it. That's what it is. And one day, it will be gone. And the clothes you love will get holes in them. And the job that you work will end, whatever job you're working. The house you live in will one day break down. You're going to lose your watch, and you're going to drop your phone in the river. Ask Hondi. That happened to Hondi. He lost his phone dropping it in the river. This weekend, at our home, in a 24-hour period, we discovered that our Honda has a power steering leak, that there are some cracks in our tub in our bedroom, that there is a hole in one of the bathroom doors, and that there is a broken glass window on the storm door of our front door. And then this morning, Leanne came and gave me a piece of the ceiling that fell out in our garage, and I went out there, and the drywall is, it needs fixing. So that was my weekend. As far as stuff goes, that was my weekend. Earth is temporary, guys. Earth is temporary. It just is. You can't name one thing on earth that's permanent. Now, let me ask you a question. If you knew that something was going to fall apart and break down, if you knew this before it happened, would you invest in that thing? Seem kind of foolish, wouldn't it, to invest in something that you know for sure is going to break down and fall apart and get thrown in the trash. And I'm going to invest my life in that. That's pretty foolish when you get right down to it. But you know what? That is exactly what people do when they live for money and when they live for stuff. Because they are investing their lives thinking that this money and stuff will bring them happiness. And in the end, it's going to wind up being nothing. It's good for a time. It makes you happy for a moment. But in the long run, it falls apart. Ends up being nothing. And you know what? When people do that, it's so sad. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen someone who thought, oh, this, the next deal, if I get this deal, I've got it, I'm made, and they live for the next deal. And the deal may come, the deal may not come, but just the fact that you look at that from the outside and you know that deal isn't going to make them happy, but they think it is, and they're living for it. And it's sad. It's so empty. There's nothing to it. Read an article this week in Money Magazine. I was in the library and I'm preaching on money. I said, you know what? Let's see what Money Magazine has to say about money. So I pull out Money Magazine and I found an article. They did a study, and this is true. This is just this week. About 87% of all millionaires, so these are rich people, about 87% of all millionaires believe they need more money to be happy, according to Money Magazine. And about 50% of all millionaires believe they need at least 5 times more money in order to be happy. 27% believe they need at least 10 times more money in order to be happy. Here are people who are extremely wealthy who 87% of them aren't happy. They think they need more to be happy. Now, let me ask you a question. Why can't most millionaires be happy with what they have? I mean, wouldn't you be happy if you had what they had? But they can't be happy with what they have. You know why? Their treasure is in the wrong place. They actually think that that will make them happy. But that's not where happiness comes from. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What that means is their heart is in the wrong place. Because where your treasure is where your heart is. Now, Jesus then said, but put your treasure in the right place. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So do not treasure this, instead treasure this. That's what Jesus is saying. Do not seek earth, seek God. You ever seen someone who treasured God? They look very different, don't they, from people who treasure earth. That person that you have in mind, who treasures God, that person had peace, didn't he? Or she? Probably joy, too. And he may not have had $1 million, but he had a whole lot more than $1 million. Because he was treasuring the right thing. See, here's the deal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These are eternal treasures. You know what? In eternity, gold is dirt. Literally. When you read Revelation. Christ is everything. Treasure him. You won't regret it at all. Now, sometimes you hear people say, You know, you really can't tell what's inside the heart of a man. And there's a truth to that. I mean, I can't read inside everybody's hearts, and I get it. And yet, Jesus did say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so there is also a sense in which you actually can see where someone's heart is, by looking at where his treasure is. Where you see somebody's treasure is where their heart is. What are the things they talk about all the time? Because you talk about the things you really desire. What are the things they spend their time on? What do they invest their money in? When you see these kind of things, you're seeing where someone's heart is, because your time follows your treasure. Your thoughts follow your treasure. And so your money follows your treasure. So, then, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasure God. Here's what that looks like. If you're going to treasure God, this is what it looks like. You spend time with Him. Don't tell me you treasure God if you never spend time with Him. If you treasure, it would be like me saying, oh, I treasure Leanne, and we never spend any time together. We never talk, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Your time follows your treasure. If you treasure God, you seek His kingdom. Don't tell me you treasure God if you don't ever care about spreading the gospel to the nations and to the lost. That's God's business. That's God's kingdom. If you're going to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, you're going to be about the business of heaven. And that's part of the business of heaven. You'll see that in your life. It'll be important to you in your life. And if you treasure God, it's part of seeking His kingdom. It also involves serving in some capacity with God's people. It's not a task. You treasure. This is a treasure. This is a desire. You want this. This isn't just, I'm going to do it. It's a checklist that I'm going to check. You treasure it. So Jesus is getting at where your heart is. Here's what else it looks like. If you treasure God, you love the church. And you know why? Do you know where God dwells? Inside His people. And if you love God, you love His people because He is inside those people. And you want to be with them. Don't tell me you treasure God if you don't spend time with His people, the people that God is actually living inside. That's silly. If you treasure God, here's what else it looks like. You give sacrificially to His work. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't. It's impossible. The best way to not be a slave, and actually the word there is slave. You can't be a slave to God and money at the same time. You're going to be a slave to money if that's what you live for. In other words, money is the boss. Money doesn't serve you. You serve money. He's saying that's the way it is with many people. The best way to not be a slave to money is to give it away in order to serve God. Guys, giving frees you from money. It really does. If you find it difficult to give sacrificially of your finances, then money has a hold on your heart. And that needs to change, if that's the case. Here's what else, if you treasure God, here's what else it looks like. You think about Him. And you talk about Him when you are around other people. I mean, isn't this true of everything that you treasure? Right? When somebody's a big fan of rap music, don't they talk about it? Listen to it? Think about it? If you're a big fan of UT football, Don't you talk about it with your friends? Analyze it. You get on those websites and start thinking. And when making money is what your treasure is, you start talking about it and thinking about new ways to make more money and talk about it with your friends and analyze different stock options and investment portfolios and so on. I mean, this is where your mind is where your heart is. And what comes out of your mouth was what was in your heart. That's what Jesus said in another place, right? Okay, so if what comes out of your mouth is money, 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 then probably that's what's in your heart. If what comes out of your mouth never has anything to do with God, maybe he's not in your heart. I mean, it needs that. It's going to happen. It's not do this. It is going to happen. If you treasure God, you are going to talk about him to people. When you're by yourself, how often do you think about God's character? God's will? God's word? When you're by yourself, what do you think about when you're by yourself? You don't have to answer that question. But I want you to answer that question to yourself. What do you think about? Are you just thinking about pop culture? Politics? Sports, music, food, you know, the repairs that need to be made to the house. Does God ever make it into there? And does he ever make it into your conversations with people? He should. If you treasure God, you want to talk about him. It's just the most natural thing in the world. Yesterday, Aki and I had coffee. We went to a coffee shop in Round Rock, and we were talking about a foundation for your life. You remember? Rock, sand?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, he who hears his words and obeys them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the winds come and the rains come and the storms come and the waters, floods rise and the house stands because it was built on a rock. And he says, he who does not hear me, or he who hears my words and does not obey them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the winds came and the rains came and the flood waters rose. And the house did not stand because it was built on sand. Okay. Your life. What's that?
Yeah. I couldn't understand what is rock.
Yes. The rock was the firm foundation.
Yes. I
that's right.
But still, I can't understand what is rock?
Oh, well, we'll talk about that right now. Glad you asked. Okay, foundation that you build your life on, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. Build your life on Christ. You have a firm foundation for your life. You have something you can actually build your life on. Build your life on money or your career or stuff, material possessions or anything earthly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If you build your life on anything earthly, you don't really have anything to build your life on because it's all temporary. It shifts. It goes away. It comes, it goes. It's like the ocean tide. Comes in, goes out, comes in, goes out. That's how earth is. It's always changing. Christ is firm. Not changing. You can build your life on that. If you build your life on those other things, you're wasting your life. I don't know any other way to put that. You are wasting your life. It's that simple. And you know what? Here in America, most people are wasting their lives. And I would be willing to say, in your countries, it's probably the same. Because they build their lives on things like money, or their careers, or whatever it happens to be. My mentor was a man who I remember, he's no longer alive, had great, he was a man of peace and joy. He did not treasure earth. He did not live in a big house, didn't serve money. And the reason for that was not that he wasn't focusing his life on fighting the master of money. Instead, he simply focused on Christ. When you look at Christ, you are not looking at money. That's how it works. If you want to fight, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't do that by trying to fight that. Instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Just look to Christ. That's kind of how it works. Jesus has given us one way to be free from earthly treasure. And that is to treasure Him. That's how you become free from earthly treasure. You set your eye purely on Christ. You have a pure eye, a pure focus on one thing, Christ. You serve Christ, not money. I'm going to tell you a story. Kind of illustrate this picture. Once upon a time, there was a man who lived in a kingdom. There was a great king, very wealthy, controlled everything. And he offered this man the entire kingdom. But the man turned it down. And he turned it down so that he could have a pair of dirty socks. And you say, that man is a fool. Yeah, he sure is. He could have had the whole kingdom, and now he's got dirty socks. And those dirty socks aren't going to last. You know how long dirty socks last. But that foolish man is the story of the human race. Because God offers us Himself. He says, here, Mike, I'll give you me. You can have God. He wants a relationship with you. He offers it to you free. Here, you can have it. But we'd rather have a BMW. Or we'd rather have some nice clothes. Or we'd rather have a chicken sandwich. You know, we're taking our dirty socks instead of the kingdom of God. We're fools pursuing stuff instead of the living God. Because in the kingdom of God, all the money in the world is dirty socks. What it is. It means that in Christ, I'm richer than Donald Trump. He's got more money than I have, for sure. But you know what? I'm a richer man than he is. Now, this business of pursuing the right thing, take the kingdom of God, not the dirty socks. this business of doing that is you don't fight against earth by fighting against earth. You fight against earth by loving Christ. This isn't a... It's with sin, too. You don't fight sin by fighting sin. You fight sin by looking to God. God's way isn't for us to fight against things in a negative way, but to look to something positive. And in doing that, the laying up treasures on earth, the fighting of sin, the whatever it is, kind of takes care of itself. But it is one or the other. Your treasure will be on earth, or it will be in heaven. You will have your treasure in one of those places. You will serve God, or you will serve earth. You will serve one of those things. And if you want to stop serving earth, you have to start serving God. Because that's how God makes it out. That it's you read what Jesus says here, and it's black and white. And it really is that way. Christ frees you from money. Christ frees you from stuff. Christ frees you from the desire to be famous. Christ frees you from the desire for pleasure or comforts or whatever it is, so that's not why you live your life. You're not living your life just to have a warm bed and some food. Actually, it's the other way around. You should have a nice bed and some food so that you can live your life for God. Everything is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. That's what it means to treasure Him. The kingdom of God has come in Christ. The kingdom of this world has been destroyed in Christ. Through the cross and the resurrection, God has, as Paul puts it in Colossians, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. And so Jesus is simply saying, if that's the reality, live in accordance with reality. Earth will pass away. If you live for earth, everything you live for will pass away. God is eternal. If you live for Him, everything you live for will last. What I want to do now is just ask you this. I want you to think for a moment if there is a place in your life that you need to treasure Christ more. I'm not going to ask you to think about the do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth part, but the lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because if you will simply treasure Christ, I think it'll take care of that other part. And so let's not worry about, you know, where maybe money has a hold on you or stuff or whatever it is. But let's just lurk on treasuring Christ. Think of a place where you need to treasure Christ more. Maybe it has to do with spending time with Him. Maybe it has to do with how you give with your money. Maybe it has to do with spreading the gospel. Maybe it has to do with serving. Maybe it has to do with your relationship with the church. Maybe it has to do with just talking about Him or thinking about Him or what, I don't know. But just take a moment, think about that. And what I want to ask you to do this week is to, whatever it is that's in your mind right now on how you can treasure Christ more, to ask God's grace to begin doing that, whatever that thing is. I'm going to pray. I thank you, God, that you give us something that lasts, something that has genuine value, so much more value than the money of this earth and the things and the possessions that catch our eyes. Praise you, for you give us yourself. I ask that you make us a people more and more in love with you, with a greater desire for you, that we would treasure you in the heart and seek you and serve you. I praise you, for this is your desire. I know it is. We give you glory and honor and blessing and praise. And we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, lunch is next.